Hey guys, Stu here, episode 7 of Stu's Views. Meant to have gotten this out a few days ago, but unfortunately life got in the way, as it does, and wasn't able to do that, but it's here now, so no matter. Anyway, this time around I'm going to be talking about a film that I just watched the other day called Christine. And no, it is not the John Carpenter film based on the Stephen King novel Christine. It's not even another version of the Stephen King novel Christine. It's nothing to do with that. This is a 2016 film. I think it's an independent one. It was released by Universal, or maybe distributed by them. And it's a real-life biopic about a woman named Christine Chubbuck. Now, who is Christine Chubbuck, I hear you ask? Good question. Listen on. Christine Chubbuck was a news reporter on a television station in Florida, Sarasota, Florida, to be exact, in the 1970s. This film is set in 1974. Okay, now, what is so important about Christine Chubbuck, you ask? Well, she is the first woman, or I think even the first person, for that matter, who committed on-air suicide. Okay, grisly tale, I know, but I thought it was fascinating. Actually, the subject matter, for that matter, and I'll get into it. But how I came across this was I was flipping through YouTube, as I usually do. I like to. I don't really watch terrestrial TV these days or cable TV much. I just more like to throw on YouTube. I don't really do much of the Netflix thing either. I was just scrolling around through YouTube and I was watching something. I can't remember what it was. I think it might have been That Chapter. There's a channel on there called That Chapter, which is a crime one, which is I really like a lot. It's interesting. And in the recommended down below, in the panel below, was the story of Christine Chubbuck. Just a short thing it was, maybe 5 to 10 minutes. And it played. That chapter was finishing up and I walked out to grab something from downstairs, went back upstairs, and the video had started for this story of Christine Chubbuck. And I plopped myself down on the in the chair and I'm like, oh, okay, this is an interesting story. And I kept watching it and became fascinated very quickly about this woman who committed the grisly act that she did. So I watched a few more videos of her, and then as I was scrolling through, saw that there was a film about her, the one I'm speaking about today. So I eagerly sought it out on some sort of streaming service to see if it was available here in Australia, and unfortunately it was not. So then I went to my next port of call and tried online stores, and sure enough, Amazon had the DVD of it, no Blu-ray. The Blu-ray is only available in the UK, but I'll get to that later as well, of this. But it was cheap. It was $6.80 brand new with free Prime shipping. So I thought, I'll take the punt. But, you know, it's not even what? Not even a hamburger. So I ordered it and it came in the next day. And I, like I said, I was busy for a while, but I managed to finally sit down and watch it the other day. And yeah, very interesting story. Very sad story as well about this woman. So anyway, the film is set in 1974, which is the year of Chubbuck's on-air suicide. She was born in 1945, if I'm not mistaken. And 1944, and died 1974. She was just short of her 30th birthday before she killed herself. And the film is not noted either. It doesn't say 1974. It doesn't give any sort of on-air timeline at all. I mean, I don't care. It doesn't have to have, like, you know, January 74, then March 74. I don't care about that, but just give us some sort of frame of reference where we're at. But you have to sort of work it out for yourself by them mentioning about Nixon's upcoming impeachment and various other things. But it isn't until much later in the film you see 1974 put somewhere, like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, they sort of dropped the ball with that one, you know, by not putting the year at the start for those who are uninitiated. But no matter, no big deal. And Christine Chubbuck is played by an actress named Rebecca Hall, who I had never heard of before, but have now. Because, boy, she was good in this film. Really, really good as Christine Chubbuck. And looked her up later on and saw that I actually own a few of her films. I own The Town. She was in that. She was in The Prestige with Christian Bale. So I'm like, oh, I have seen this woman before, but just didn't take notice of her because she didn't stand out in those films as much as she does in this. Anyway, I'm jumping about here. But so Christine Chubbuck was a 29-year-old woman who was a on-air presenter, a reporter for this station in Sarasota, Florida, WXLT TV, Channel 40. However, in this film, they changed that to, if I'm not mistaken, WZRB30 for some reason. I'm guessing it's some sort of legal reason they can't put their real station on there. I don't know if the real station exists in Florida. I don't know. I haven't bothered to check it up. And Christine Chubbuck is a single woman with a very, very low self-esteem. She doesn't let anybody get close to her. You see her at the start. She's at a bar waiting on a date and the guy never shows up. So she's been stood up, which doesn't help her self-esteem much at all. And she starts spiraling more and more into a depression and she has mental health issues. She lives with her mother. She's very codependent on the mother and she guilts the mother when the mother brings a man back home saying, oh, you're going to abandon me now and you know he's already going to move in and you know I'm going to lose you. And so very strong attachment, you know, very needy sort of individual. And you see the spiraling, the downward spiral of Christine Chubbuck in this film, in this portrayal here. She does have a romantic interest, but it's one-sided with this guy named George Ryan, I believe his name was, played by Michael C. Hall, a.k.a. Dexter from television. No relation to Rebecca Hall. Rebecca Hall is actually a British actress, which I didn't know because she does a very good American accent here. And she really has this fascination with this guy. You know, she just wants to be with him so bad, but it's not really reciprocated. So that sets her off even more. And also her job, she's very, very unhappy with her job. She doesn't like the sort of, you know, second-class station that she's working at, and she aims for something better because she's actually a very smart woman. But she's given these really crummy stories to deal with. She's talking about the strawberries and, you know, dealing with ladies who, you know, doing stories on ladies with chickens and just really low-level pieces of reporting that she's a lot better than. She also becomes very disillusioned with the station motto and the direction that they're taking, which is, if it bleeds, it leads, which is very common these days, a term, but back in 74, it was basically unheard of. I don't even know if this station was the one that coined it, that phrase. It may have been. I really don't know. I did check up the origins of this, and it says back in 1989, it was the first time it was ever used. Well, this was 74. This is a long time before 89. So, yeah, we just see this continual spiral, you know, downhill of Chubbuck and just disillusion and everything piling on top of her. And she does finally get to have a date with George Ryan. He asks her out and she's really excited. You see her going back home and getting ready for the date and they go out and they go out for a nice dinner and then you see them back in his car and you think, okay, you're going to get some sort of, you know, kissing action or whatever here, but he then proceeds the driver to a place which is like some sort of group intervention and he says, oh, you need help and you're this and you're that, and you can see the uneasiness as she's led into this place. And it's a weird thing. Whether it happened in real life, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about this on the very small pieces of footage that are out there on YouTube of Christine Chubbuck and people who knew her. There's not many of them around because this is only a 50-year-old story. So a lot of people have died off over the years. So whether this was a fabrication or whether it was actually real, I don't know. But it's really odd. And you got to guess, for someone who had pinned all her hopes on just going out with this guy and then being led to a group therapy thing because he says that she needs help, well, you could pretty much imagine that would just kill every sort of spirit that you have in you. So it's then into the last, say, 20 to 30 minutes that Chubbuck gets herself a handgun, a 38 caliber pistol, if I'm not mistaken, and asks the station manager if she can lead a story one day. I think it was on a Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And gets into a story, starts reading about a boy who was in a fight or stabbed or something like that at a nightclub the night before, at a club or a bar, something the night before. The piece of footage that they're meant to roll gets jammed, and Chubbuck then says something to the effect of, in keeping with the station policy of blood and guts, you're about to see the first on-air, in living colour, attempted suicide. She then grabs the gun from her handbag, from her right hand, puts it behind her right ear and blows her brains out. Quite shocking, actually. You do see that footage in this film, a recreation of it, because now, here's the contentious part. The footage out there of the real on-air suicide, remember this was televised in July 1974, supposedly exists. You know, there was contention for years and years that it wouldn't have existed. It doesn't exist because videotape was not around in 74. Or if it was, it was so expensive that small stations like this one wouldn't have been able to afford to have videotape and to file it away. But apparently in June 2016, it was confirmed that the footage does exist. It's never been seen. It's locked away in a vault, never to be seen. And honestly, I got to say, I agree with that. I personally, if it ever was released for some reason, which I really can't see happening, but if it ever was, I would not want to see it. I just don't see the point. You are watching the final moments of a woman's life who has given up on everything and is at the peak of utter despair, and it ends her life. I mean, I why would you want to watch that? How much entertainment do you need in your life to watch a woman, this tragic figure, end her life? I like I said, I wouldn't want to see it. There is supposedly an audio recording on YouTube. I mean, it is out there, but how real it is, I don't know. This is pretty sick. There is a video, a black and white video on YouTube of the supposed real thing, even though the people who are presenting it, the guys presenting it, actually says at the end it's a fake. But why the fuck would you put it up there? I mean, honestly, why would you recreate that? What, for clicks and likes and comments? I mean, it's pathetic. It really is. So that thing's a fake. I did watch it, but I fast-forwarded it through most of it until it got to the end, and then I found out it's a fake. So I didn't want to see it. I had no intention of seeing it. Same with the audio recording. I've listened to the audio recording, which it can't be verified if it's real or not. Again, it may be another fake. I listened to a particular point because I knew what she says before the trigger goes off and I stopped it. I didn't want to hear the gunshot. So I think, yeah, that should never be released, that footage. And it's just you know, come on. You don't need to see it. And I'm saying this from a standpoint of a guy who has had self-esteem issues over the years as well, from, Jesus, my teens up until, you know, today, really. Not as bad as her, not to the point where I'm suicidal, obviously, not that. I've kind of got a thing, I like to live, you know, I enjoy living. But there's, you know, and I'm sure a lot of people get it, there's times when you think, and again, it's not something that lives with me day in, day out. It's just once a month I might feel like shit, I might feel like absolutely in the dirt, and I just don't want to speak to nobody. It happened to me on Thursday night, I think it was. So what, 3 days ago from the point in time of this recording, I was out and about at work, and within 5 minutes, my complete mood changed. I'm like, I just feel like shit. I feel like absolute shit. And basically told my wife on the phone, I sent her a text message. Look, I'm feeling crap. When I get home, I don't want to speak to anyone. I just want to go upstairs and I just want to disappear. And I have those days. I still do. I probably always will. You know, it's just something I've got to live with, I guess. We all do, you know, those of us who've got it. But, I mean, Chubbuck had it bad in this film. She had it really, really bad. And, I mean, again, it's a self-esteem issue because she was convinced that she was ugly. And if you look at the real Christine Chubbuck, she's not that bad looking. She's actually okay looking. She's not a model, but fuck, who cares? Fuck models, who gives a shit about them? And, you know, there's a thing out on YouTube as well. Like I said, I've watched a few videos of her. There's a thing out there of her which has got photos of her from like a montage from when she was young to, you know, her teenage years up to when she was a woman, you know, up until her demise by her own hand. And she was actually a woman who got better looking as she got older. So by the time she had hit 35, 40, she would have been absolute knockout. But unfortunately, she never got that to that age. But anyway, let's get on to the acting in this film. Like I said, by Rebecca Hall, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring it up. She is absolutely great. You end up, you start watching this film and you become so engrossed in it. This film runs 2 hours. And really by about the first 15, 20 minutes, you come to the conclusion you're not watching a woman play somebody. You're watching the real woman. Like, you're really watching her because she becomes that entrenched in the role of Chubbuck. And it's, yeah, man, I tell you, her performance as an actress was absolutely outstanding in this film. It really was. Some others were okay, like Michael C. Hall as George Ryan. He was okay. He was a bit stiff. Don't know if the character was written like that, obviously. I don't know. The rest of the cast really is a bunch of unknowns to me anyway. There's no real names that, you know, pop out at me as knowing who they are. Which I kind of like that way. I don't want to be distracted by big name actors in roles. I'm like, oh, I'm just looking at, you know, so-and-so, and I'm looking at actor A, and I'm looking at actor B and actor C. I don't care. I'd rather see unknowns and let them transport me into the story they're trying to tell without me being distracted by looking at a particular actor or actress. So that's about it for this film. It's, trying to keep these things brief without rambling on too much. Okay, now where to buy this film? As I said, it is available on Blu-ray only in the UK. It is available on DVD, like I said, here in Australia. I bought it, and there is an American DVD release as well. It's pretty limited. I can't see it getting a Blu-ray release now. You know, this film is, what, 5 years old, so it's the window of opportunity for that one, I dare say, has shut. Unless somebody else releases it in the future. But it wasn't that much of a big release. You know, it got lauded by the critics when it came out. But not one that's going to be a big seller on the physical media format, which is kind of dying these days, unfortunately. So the UK is your only best option to pick up the Blu-ray on this if you need it. I watched this on the DVD, like I said, and the picture quality was fine, but DVD really is showing its limitations these days, picture-wise. So, basically that's it for Christine. Now, there is one more thing I should bring up. There was another film that was released the same year called Kate Plays Christine. It's actually a documentary about a woman named Caitlin Shale, who is getting prepared for the role of playing Christine Chubbuck. And it shows, I think, I've not seen this, but the documentary shows her preparing for the part. So kind of in the same year, for some reason, it's not like it was a 50th anniversary of her death or anything, it was just 2016. There was two films about Christine Chubbuck. So yeah, very, very strange. I don't know if they're going against each other. I don't think so. I think it was just sheer coincidence. However, what I would like to see about Chubbuck is a real documentary, not a documentary about a woman learning to play her, but a documentary about her. As I said earlier, yes, there are people who have passed on, so it's kind of going to be hard to gather up information about this woman who was basically at a station that, you know, had a small viewership. You know, I'm sure if they scour the tapes and they'll find things out there. I mean, there is real life footage of Chubbuck on YouTube, not much, but there is real life footage of her, and kind of weird to see when you find out what happened to her. And the thing is, well, there was one point that a guy brought up. I think it was a guy who actually worked with her back in 1974 when he was at the station with her. He said it's ironic that the thing that she opposed the most was, which was the blood and the gore that the station was pushing, is the one thing she'll be remembered for. I found that very, very, very poignant, that phrase. So, yeah. Okay. Now, is this worth a viewing of your time, the 2 hours? Yes, it is. Definitely. It's an interesting little piece. I dare say it'll make you want to go out and learn more about Christine Chubbuck, who had this very troubled life, but was also a very smart woman, like really smart, but just had her problems, I guess. But I would give this a good solid 7. If you think 7's low, which it's not, but you think, oh, well, he wasn't that enamored with it. No, I was. I do want to give it another watch, and I will give it another watch, because it's a pretty dense film. There's a lot in there. And I want to take it in again a second time around and learn more and try and learn more about this woman, because I don't know if there's any books about her. There may be. I've not really delved into it. I would love to read a book about her. But at the moment, all we got is the small snippets of footage out there of her and this film, and this Kate Plays Christine, which I do want to pick up, because, again, it's another one that's very cheap. So I'll just pick it up and stick it on the shelf. And yeah, I'll give this a solid 7. So with that, this one's gone over time a little bit. I'm, like I said, I'm trying to keep this, you know, short, sharp, and to the point. I will give it a 7 and recommend it for sure. It may be on streaming services over in other countries, but here in Australia, it's not. So on that, I will go ahead and say that the next episode, I'm aiming to, but I can't promise, I'm aiming to make it that I'll be ranking. So I'll be doing something different again. I'll be ranking all the Hammer Horror Dracula films from worst to best, but only the ones starring Christopher Lee. So Brides of Dracula, which the MMC have covered many, many years ago, will not be included because he's not in that, and neither will the, I think it's the Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires one that I think, yeah, he's not in. If he's in it, he's barely in it, or if, I don't think he's in it at all, but it's, for some reason it's classed as a Hammer Dracula film, not going to be including that either. Just the 7 starring Christopher Lee will be it. So I'm going to start, because I just got the last of those Draculas in on Blu-ray the other day. So I'm going to sit down and watch them from the first all the way up until the last one. Take notes, and I won't be giving, you know, descriptions and reviews at length about each one, because that thing will just run for hours, and I don't have hours these days. I'll just give a brief synopsis and my short thoughts on it, and then a ranking where I position it on the tier, say from worst to the best. So that's what I'm going to aim for the next one. If it's not the next one that comes out, I promise you it'll be the one after. You know, I may watch something in the interim that catches my eye, and I just want to do a quick recording on it. So yeah. So, Christine from 2016, not the Stephen King, John Carpenter one, but the 2016 one, directed by Antonio Campos. So, on that note, I'm going to say have a good one, and I'll catch you next episode.